Welcome to Whiskey Cask Virtual Tastings. I'm Mark Gillespie, and I'll be joined by this month's tasting panel in just a minute. Support for Whiskey Cask Virtual Tastings comes from Kilhoman, Isla's Farm Distillery. If you're listening for the first time, welcome. This show is all about you. Each week on Whiskey Cast, you'll find the latest news on whiskeys from around the world, along with conversation, tasting notes, and much more. But once a month, we bring together whiskey lovers to form our virtual tasting panel. Normally, we do it online via Skype. That's why we call it a virtual tasting panel. But this month, I'm in Indianapolis, Indiana. For the first time, we brought together our panelists at a Whiskey Cast listener's home. They'll be tasting Ireland's Green Spot, the new Crown Royal XR Rare from Canada, Amrut Portanova from India, and the new Ardbeg Day Single Malt Scotch. Later on, I'll tell you how you can become part of the tasting panel for a future episode. We'll meet this month's tasting panel right after this.
Hello, I'm John McClellan, Distillery Manager at Kilhoman, which is Isla's youngest distillery. We're proud to bring you this episode of Whiskey Cast Virtual Tastings. If you can make it to Isla, we'd love to see you at the distillery. But until then, you can visit us on the web at kilhomandistillery.com or get a taste of Isla with a dram of Kilhoman from Isla's Farm Distillery.
Let's meet our tasting panel now. We are in Zionsville, Indiana, on the northwest side of Indianapolis. And for the first time ever, we're doing this in the home of a Whiskey Cast listener. Christopher Winters is our host today and generously offered to let us record this month's episode at his home bar. And Christopher, thank you very much for hosting us today and for letting us record Whiskey Cast Virtual Tastings here at your bar. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about how you got interested in whiskey, because I know that you are a fairly serious whiskey geek.
Well, yes, that's true. I'm a geek.
And I use that term lovingly, of course.
Yes, thank you. Well, I'm just glad that we were able to work this out. I know Mark is in town for a very special reason this weekend, and I'm just glad to be able to open my home to him and appreciate him being here. But I got into whiskey about 10 years ago from a man probably my father's age. He was into White Horse whiskey and got me drinking it about 10 years ago. And I have a few White Horse whiskeys up there in his honor. But taking it from there and started collecting it. I'm in a whiskey club, a Scotch Drinkers book club. And like when I was a child, I used to collect baseball cards and coins. And now I collect whiskey and enjoy it with my friends and family and open my house to them like this occasion. So.
And all three of our panelists today are part of the Carmel Whiskey Club, which meets at the Vine and Table Gourmet Market in Carmel. And Dennis Lynch, the bar manager, or I should say the spirits manager at the Vine and Table, was going to try to join us, but was unavoidably conflicted and couldn't quite make it. But I also want to welcome Josh Scott now, another frequent Whiskey Cast commenter on the Facebook page and listener. And Josh, tell us about yourself.
Sure. Thanks for having me here, Mark. Appreciate it. Name's Joshua Scott, originally from Columbus, Indiana, born and raised. Just a hop, skip, and a jump from you, Mark. I suppose I've always been interested in whiskey. At least it's always been my drink of choice. Started out with your typical Jack Daniels, Jack and Coke. Moved on to some bourbons, Standard Expressions, Maker's Mark, Woodford Reserve. It wasn't until when I graduated from Rose Holman in Terre Haute, Indiana, and moved out to Noblesville that I joined the whiskey club in Carmel at the Vine and Table that my passion for whiskey really started to grow. Just really started subscribing to a couple whiskey publications, reading any book that I could get my hands on the subject, listening to podcasts such as yours, Mark, attending different whiskey events across the country, and also joining some online forums like StraightBourbon.com. Just try to sample and taste as many different expressions as I can to try to expand my palate, and really trying to learn and educate myself on everything that this very diverse, unique, and fine spirit has to offer.
I have to tell you what just happened here. If you heard a crash in the background, Christopher had stepped away from his bar to take a picture of us talking here, and Josh had set up his iPhone on a stack of books because he wanted to record this on video for posterity.
And Christopher knocked over the stack of books on top of a box, and that's what was collapsing. But they've set that back up now, and this is even before we've started tasting whiskeys, guys.
Yeah. So, way to go, Chris.
But let's move on to our third panelist, Tom Helt. Tom, welcome, and tell us about yourself.
Again, like Josh, I grew up in Columbus, Indiana, and came to Indianapolis after college. Unlike these two young pups that you've got sitting here, I was drinking... Once I turned legal, I started drinking scotch, but back in those days, the choices were basically Chivas Regal was the top of the line, with occasionally you might find a bar with Glenfiddich or Glenlivet. And that's what I lived on probably for about 10 or 15 years till a trip down to the islands in St. Martin, and a shop owner introduced me to some things like Oban, Talisker, and I finally found the diversity in scotch. Went on a quest to try to get at least one scotch from every sub-region in Scotland, and succeeded in doing that. And about the time I succeeded in doing that, I was reading one of John Hansel's whiskey notes, and it mentioned this strange thing called George T. Stagg, 140-proof bourbon. And I said, well, I'm not really a super big bourbon fan from what I had tried, things like Jim Beam and the like, so I tried... Got a hold of it, went up to a proprietor up in Chicago who kindly gave me a bottle of Stag. And for about the last 8 years, I've been playing back and forth between bourbon and scotch.
Let's be honest here. He didn't give you that.
He
sold it to you. He just gave you a chance to buy it.
Put it this way. At that time, the whiskey wasn't going on the shelf. Right. So just the fact you had the opportunity to buy it was a gift.
Right. Now, let's also, just before we start tasting... we've had requests in the past from listeners when they are traveling to Indianapolis, either for football games or the 500 or whatever, for information on good whiskey bars and clubs. And since we are here, guys, why don't you tell us real quickly, where are good places to go to find whiskeys if you're coming into the city, into the Indianapolis area?
Sure, I'll take that question, Mark. One of my favorite places to go is the Indy Cigar Bar, which is up here on the north side of Indianapolis. And it's a fantastic little it's a small little bar, but it's great, and they've of course they have a outstanding selection of cigars with I believe they are the exclusive carrier for the Zeno, the Davidoffs, different cigars. So but as far as their whiskey selections are top notch. If you like your bourbons, you're going to find your line of Pappy Van Winkles there. You're going to find the Buffalo Trace Antique Collection. And they also have some great scotches that they have to offer. Some, you know, Talisker 18, Laphroaig 18, anywhere from Speyciders, Islas, Lowlands, Highlands, all different regions. So they have a great lineup, very fair prices, and I think it's an outstanding place for somebody to visit that's in town.
And we should also mention the Vine and Table, of course, right, guys?
Absolutely.
All right. Best whiskey selection in town. And Dennis has done a wonderful job at stocking that.
And when does the Carmel Whiskey Club meet?
We meet the first Thursday of every month.
That's correct.
So you'll be meeting basically literally a week from this first weekend in June. We're taping this on Monday the 28th. So we'll be you guys will be meeting the following week.
That's correct. Yep. And it's nothing really fancy or big. We kind of just sit in a sort of a round table, and a typical evening we'll have anywhere from 6 to 8 different whiskeys in the lineup.
As Christopher takes one of the dogs outside, absolutely nothing wrong with that. As a dog lover, I've had Bristow and Frizzle, the infamous legendary sheepdogs, bark in the back of some episodes, and I think you guys have been some of the people who have pointed out, did we hear the dog bark during something or whatever? Let's get to tasting now. We're going to taste 4 whiskeys today that I've brought with me for the occasion. The first one is an Irish whiskey. We're actually hitting 4 different countries in this tasting, and we're going to taste Greenspot. This is one of the Irish pot still whiskeys that's produced at Middleton Distillery. It is 40% ABV, so guys, go ahead and start nosing, and while they nose, I'll explain the scoring scale we use for Whiskey Cask virtual tastings. We don't report a score for each individual whiskey with each individual taster. What each of our nosers will do on the panel is rate the whiskey between 0 and 5 points, with half points okay, after nosing and tasting first neat, then with water. And at that point, we then create an average score. This reduces the peer impact of letting people discuss what their scores are and possibly influencing other people. So this way we get an unbiased score from each member of the panel, and we report it out as an average. And we'll do that at the end of this show. So, guys, now that we've nosed it, what do you think? What kind of notes do we get on the nose for this one?
I guess some sweet, floral, a little bit of vanilla and some honey in there. Almost like spring flowers. There's definitely some sweetness. Very nice.
And then in the background, I'm getting just a little bit of straw or hay.
Okay.
I get a little peach, definitely fruity, light but fresh. That's how I would describe it.
I know Tom has already tasted it. What do you get on the taste?
The taste, it's a real soft floral coming through with just a slight bit of fruit.
Oh, very nice. It's got a very clean mouthfeel to it. Like Tom said, a bit of floral notes in there. I'm still getting that soft vanilla sweetness with a little bit of honey in the background.
Christopher?
Very light. I don't get much of the honey, but it's definitely floral. You know, my neighbor here, I'm a fledgling rosarian, and I can't say if it's a rose, but it's definitely floral. And a nice, crisp, smooth finish that has some length to it. It's a good summertime, you know, scotch, as we're sitting here with 90-degree weather outside.
Christopher's neighbor, Michelle, has joined us, and he's not tasting because he has to work later today and is not allowed to have alcohol as an air traffic controller for many, many hours beforehand. But if we can pull you over here, I just want to have you nose this, and you can do that without having any issues. So let me bring my microphone over here to you, Michelle. I'd like to at least... Since you're also a listener to the show, I want to get your thoughts at least when you nose this green spot.
Well, first of all, the sweetness is really, dare I say, bourbon-esque. Kind of a corn sweetness to me. Honey, floral, and a little touch of cinnamon, I would say, also. It smells delicious.
Okay, you guys have all tasted now, so what do you think on the taste while he keeps his nose in that glass for as long as he can safely?
I really enjoy this pour. I think it's got everything you look for in a single pot still Irish whiskey. It's sweet. It's got the vanilla notes. Just very, very subtle oak. It's very clean. It's got great transition from front to back. And the finish is very soft and subtle. And very sweet. I think this is a great pour.
Great descriptions there, Christopher.
Yeah, I agree. It's a very nice pour. Again, beautiful for the summertime. The combination of the very little bit of sweet, a little bit of oak. I mean, it's a good balance, and it still has a long finish a couple minutes later.
And you guys have put water in now yet, right?
No.
Why don't you put some water in and then nose it again while Tom tells us what he thought of it on the taste without water.
Well, the thing that I really like about this one compared to some of the other Irish whiskeys is it has a real crispness and lightness to it, and it just really keeps your mouth fresh and lively, where I find a lot of the other Irishes, they're a little bit more muddled, and you don't get that sharpness to it.
Okay, now what differences came out with water, on the nose at least?
I think it really opens up the floral notes. I think you get much more, almost picking up on some jasmine. Mm-hmm. Really opens it up, very nice.
Christopher?
It opens it up on the nose, but I lose it on the finish. I mean, this is 40% ABV, so It definitely gets watered down on the finish, but I do like the nose. The floral note really opens up on the nose.
But are you saying it fell apart in the taste? Or
yes, that's what I would say.
Tom?
Yeah, I'm with Chris on that. The nose on it, you're expecting to be really fantastic after you add the water, but again, it just goes super soft with the water in it.
Well, we've got at least a couple of whiskeys coming up here that I can pretty much assure you probably won't fall apart with water, no matter how much you put into them. But Guys, go ahead and put your scores down for Green Spot while we get ready for the next whiskey, and I'll start describing this one to you. One of the things that we do try to do on WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings is talk about accessible whiskeys, for the most part, whiskeys that you're able to find at your local retailer or at a bar, or that you can get your hands on without too much trouble. The next whiskey we're going to try is falls into that category loosely in that it's technically not available yet. It will be hitting retailers during June. I mentioned this on WhiskeyCast during May. This is Crown Royal XR Rare from Canada. This is the new version that is replacing the original Crown Royal XR, and that one was made with whiskeys from the long ago demolished, actually burned down, Waterloo Distillery in Ontario. This one uses whiskeys from the LaSalle Distillery in Montreal, which closed in 1993. Sort of like Stitzel Weller, it's still being used for maturation, but is no longer distilling. And the whiskeys that have been aged there, so we got whiskeys in here. This carries no age statement, but a lot of these whiskeys are at least 18 to 19 years old that went into this one. So what I'd like you guys to do now that you've got your samples, this is also bottled at 40% ABV, is to go ahead and nose and tell me what you think. I'm sorry, we have to get the bottle over to Tom. I had thought you already had some in your glass, but I apologize. This actually comes in a very nice decanter, just like the original Crown XR did.
the nose on this one is almost a... it's like a candied sweetness. To me, it almost noses like some of the cognacs. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. You definitely pick up the caramel. You have some type of candied sweets. Not quite Christmas cake, but... Yeah, I'd agree with maybe almost like a cognac.
Tom?
I'm actually, the sweetness to me is a little bit more of a, I'm getting more of a burnt sugar than the pure sweet of the caramel on it. And then also just getting some hints of the wood.
Go ahead and taste. Josh, you have a puzzled expression on your face.
It's got an excellent, on the front of the palate, it's a very creamy, buttery entry. The sweetness begins to open up, and I agree with what the others have said with the caramel sweetness. It's a great mouthfeel, mouth coating, very, very nice.
The burnt sugar, that was a good descriptor. That really came out. Bam, that really popped right when you first tasted it.
I'm curious, brown since, Chris, you have a bottle of the original XR on your shelf from Waterloo. I don't know when the last time you opened that one was, but do you notice any differences between the two?
I can't remember. I mean, I know I really enjoyed it. And,
I haven't done that comparison myself either. Yeah. But,
it's very enjoyable. Some of the Canadian whiskeys I've sampled, you know, they tend to be more on the sweet, on the cloying side. And I think this one... it has excellent sweetness that marries very well with the other flavors that the whiskey has to offer. I think it's got great balance.
Tom?
Yeah, this is one of those whiskeys I say I can get myself in trouble with real easy because the burnt sugar and that up front, it just goes in so nice and easy. The knock on it to me is it's really, there's no complexity or anything to it. It is what it is, and it's a very good light sipping whiskey that, like I said, I could see easily drinking two or three of these at a time and getting myself in trouble.
Mm-hmm. There's something to be said for good, simple, yet slightly complex whiskeys, but that have a great balance of taste to them, but that may not have a lot of complex depth to them as well. Yeah. Go ahead and let's try this with a little bit of water.
Mm-hmm. I think this one does fall apart a little bit on both the nose and the palate. Loses a little bit of the sweetness. And again, that buttery, creamy entry isn't quite as much up front.
Christopher?
Yeah, I mean, definitely I'm trying to discern on the nose. You definitely lose. It does fall apart on the finish with the water. It's 40%?
40%.
40%, yeah. So that would make sense. But I think this would be one that your friends could enjoy. You know, somebody that didn't like brown liquor, this would be a good one to serve to them.
Tom?
Actually, it does give up something with the water, but it didn't fall apart near as much as I was expecting it to. It's still a very enjoyable drink to me, even with the water in it.
And, of course, you guys are putting differing amounts of water in, so
right.
It's hard to measure that. So one of you may have put more in than others, so we do have to take that into account now. But why don't you go ahead and write down your scores for this one, and I'll start telling you about the next whiskey. This one will not fall apart underwater. This is Amrut Porta Nova. It is one of the few Indian single malts that's available on the market. And this one has a history. This one was aged originally in ex-bourbon casks, then moved into port for a while, then moved back into the bourbon casks for a little bit of a finish. And that makes it a little more complex, but then it's also bottled at 62.1% ABV. This may be the strongest whiskey we've tried yet on WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings. So it's going to be interesting to hear what the guys think of this one after it's had some water.
Well, Josh and I have a tendency to really like the high proofer, so this one probably
this
will
be. This
should
be interesting. The color on this is, I'll let you guys describe it. This is... The port influence really comes out here.
That's what I was just getting ready to say. Just looking at the glass, you really see that golden amber from the sherry port finish there. It's really, really nice.
Ooh, just a little bit of a red tint. Yeah, it's a beautiful color.
Yeah.
Chris is holding it up to a white card just to get a good clear idea.
It's interesting, Mark. Right off the bat, the first thing that jumped to me when I stuck my nose in this glass, I almost get a very grainy nose, almost like a yeast influence, right off the bat, kind of jumps out at you.
And there's no alcohol burn with this one, is there?
No, it's very muted on the nose.
Much less than you would expect with a
62%
alcohol.
Right, no, this does not burn your nostrils.
No, I would be guessing this is less than 100 just from the nose of it.
100 proof, yeah.
Do you guys get that grain?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm.
I know you guys had said that you'd tried Amrut, I think, Fusion before, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The heat definitely kicks in on the palate. It's a bit hot up front, and you get these nice red, ripe fruit notes start to kick in mid-palate. A lot going on here. I got to chew on this one for a little bit.
Yeah, I actually tasted this about 2 months ago at the Vegas whiskey show. But when I tasted it then, already my palate was pretty dead, and it's fun to taste it now because what I'm really getting out of it, I thought Josh was going to go there when he said red, but I'm getting some nice red hot cinnamon out of it. And really, I'm surprised I'm not getting as much of the port finish in it as I would have expected to from the nose. I'm getting more of the spices and the cinnamon.
And not as much sweetness.
No.
No.
What do you get, Christopher?
I mean, this thing's on fire. I mean, I think the spice is right. It's not a peppery like a Talisker spice. This is a, I don't know which spice it is. But and if it's cinnamon, I think
I might have identified it as a curry powder type.
Okay,
spice.
Yeah,
curry
there's
powder, chili powder, something.
There's
like
some
that.
Hot. I mean, this thing's on fire, and I don't think I've ever said that about a whiskey. But
it is hot.
Yeah,
but is it a good hot?
It's
very nice hot.
It's a good. I mean, I would not expect this to be 62%. I mean, I would say it's stronger than 40%.
Mm-hmm.
But this is phenomenal.
Let's Let's give it the water test now and see what happens with just a few drops of water.
That was more than a few.
Grab another glass.
If we need to replenish and bring it back into balance, we certainly can. The guys are smiling. This is one of the advantages of doing this in person as opposed to a the usual virtual tasting via Skype is that I can see your reactions to this. And Josh has a bit of a grin on his face.
Well, it's interesting, Mark, because the addition of water tends to pull down the spicy cinnamon hotness that the others have described. And I'm actually getting, and again, it kind of kicks in about mid palate and towards the finish. I get these red ripe fruit notes that start to come through, that are definitely there. Once you can get past the, spiciness on the beginning, and the water definitely brings that out.
Yeah. This one, of course, doesn't fall apart. This one just, this one can handle the water and it doesn't lose anything. I don't know if it gains much, though. I haven't.
Yeah, right.
I didn't see it change much.
Some whiskeys open up when you add water to them, but this it holds it.
The which only is unique.
The only thing, and I really don't understand because I'm really experienced with other whiskeys, is it almost seems like it's getting a little bit drier on the finish with the water in it.
Well, I picked that up before. I mean, a little bit of tannin almost. Mm-hmm. The mouth puckering. Maybe that's a little less with water, but.
How's the finish?
It's still mouth warming, you know, little subdued from the fire, but I liked it without water. I liked it without water.
Yeah, I think this one, I can drink it easily with water, but I prefer straight.
Mm-hmm. For a 62%, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lovely.
Quite complex. Holds up nice.
Well, let's move on to our fourth and final whiskey while the guys write down their scores for Amrut Porta Nova. The fourth whiskey, we don't have a lot of it because I received a very small sample of it this week and or this past week and included my tasting notes for it on the final episode in May. This is Ardbeg Day. The label on this says Release the Peat. This is the Fagiel Festival bottling for Ardbeg. But it's also being made available at a number of retailers around the world that are designated as so-called Ardbeg embassies. This does fall against our usual tradition of using widely available or at least easily available bottlings for WhiskeyCast virtual tastings. But since I had it with me to do my tasting notes while I was traveling, and Chris has been generous enough to open up his home to us along with his family, I wanted to bring this one along and give the guys the chance to taste this before it comes out because it won't officially be released until June 2nd. You may have already heard, by the time you're listening to this, it may have already been out and been sold out, frankly, but I wanted to give the guys a chance to taste this one. This is bottled at 56.7% ABV. So, gentlemen, if you will pour yourselves a little bit and just go ahead and feel free to... split what's left of that among you. I apologize for the small amount of it, but hopefully that will be enough to give you enough to work with for tasting notes.
Well, I think I speak for all of us when I say thank you very much for sharing this expression with us, Mark. We're all excited to try it.
And you guys are peat nuts too, right?
Yes.
I am, yes.
And Tom is nodding his head enthusiastically.
Tom, who bought the 68 Laphroaig from me, stole that from me. The year I was born, in fact. But so thank you very much.
So
I was just trying to be kind to the animals. It was put up in a silent auction to go to the Humane Society.
Of course.
But it's definitely got that Ardbeg nose, that deep, earthy, peaty, salty nose.
Yeah, I think you could tell this is an Ardbeg.
Yeah,
that's
what I was going to say. This is classic Ardbeg.
This reeks of Ardbeg.
Well, the one non-classic, too, though.
But we should be more descriptive. We can't just say that.
Is you do get the sherry notes on the nose.
Yep.
Yeah, this was aged in a sherry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just enjoyed nosing it.
I
What other notes do we get besides peat and a little bit of sherry? And
like when you're out at a campfire, like the campfire, like toasted wood.
Yeah, the smoke.
Smoke, ash.
The salt, the brine. I mean, it reminds me of the day that I drove from Ardbeg up to Kildalton, and we stopped along the road there, and we picked up some rocks that are actually sitting right up there in my bar, and we walked out to pick them up, and they're just filled with the seaweed, and I just picked that up into my nose and smelt it right before we went to the distillery.
This is a great whiskey.
The guys have started tasting it. Didn't think I could hold him back much longer.
I haven't yet. I was waiting for your cue.
Josh is the only one that's jumped the gun on that.
Go ahead, guys.
That's usually you, Tom.
It's up front. You get this initial burst of peat, but it's not overpowering. It doesn't dominate the dram. You get these salty, little bit of iodine, briny notes, like some seaweed in there. Very. To me, this one's very complex, and it keeps opening up.
Yeah. Chris walked over to his bar and pulled one of the rocks down. I've got to give this one a nose. I'm not nosing the whiskeys today, but yeah, the rock, you can still smell a little bit of brine on there. Oh, he handed me the rock from Jura, so that was why it had a little bit of peatiness. A little bit of Blackstone from Isla. Oh, yeah. You can still smell just a little bit of peat on there. The airport security guys must have loved you bringing that through.
I brought 7 bottles back.
Yeah, this at Chicago Whiskey Fest this year, they gave us a hint of what they might be releasing as the committee release. Mm-hmm. And this tastes right in line with what we sampled then. This to me is almost a highlight whiskey for me because I love Ardbeg and I love sherried whiskeys. So you put them together, if you get them balanced. Josh is laughing because I've tried some of my own vattings between Ardbeg and some sherried whiskeys, and I haven't quite got the balance perfect.
But the apple hour.
This is nice.
This is very nice. And I'm with Tom. If you get peat and sherry in my glass and you get it in balance, you're gonna win me over every time.
Chris?
I mean, it's a classic Ardbeg. I mean, it's probably not my favorite Ardbeg. I mean, I enjoy it, and I have several bottles there. My favorite is Roller Coaster, but this is right up there.
And, let's add just a touch of water, if you must.
Touch, Tom.
Touch. I don't have my straw.
I did not bring my eyedropper. I have been known to carry an eyedropper. Oh, wait a second. Chris has one. No, he's kidding.
Too late now.
Yeah. Too late now.
Yeah. This to me is one where the water actually makes a difference, and it does open it up mm-hmm. and even improves it from what it was before.
You definitely get more of the sherry influence with the addition of the water, right? Yeah. I was actually struggling to pick up on the sherry before drinking it neat, but the addition of a couple drops of water here, it's starting to sing now.
It's much better. That's exactly what I was going to say. Is that the sherry just comes right out. And
I think Sinatra would even like this one.
Yes, my ringtone is Sinatra.
Yeah, it makes me look forward to Thursday night. One of the Ardbeg events is up in Chicago on Thursday.
Yep.
Where we'll get to try this again.
And you can tease them and say, I've already had this.
Thanks to Whiskey Cast.
So yes. can we get embassy status?
That's not mine to give.
You have that power.
No, I don't.
Again, thank you for yes. sharing these whiskeys with us, Mark.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys. And I think I know what the scores are going to be for this one, but let's go ahead and write them down. And then we're going to take a short break. I'm going to tabulate the scores. We'll be right back with the final results and some final thoughts. You're listening to Whiskey Cast Virtual Tastings.
When the legends of whiskey have something to say, you'll hear it each week on Whiskey Cast.
Us Baptists just makes it for municipal purposes only. I keep a cough all the time.
From Kentucky to Scotland, and everywhere in between.
What's Daddy's favourite whiskey?
Our Big.
It's an award winner. It's gone out of my head.
With the latest on new releases, whiskey events from around the world, tasting notes, and surprises along the way.
When you leave here today, you will all be feeling and looking 5 years younger. I come here twice each day. I'm 127.
I'm Mark Gillespie. Join us each week for the best in cask strength conversation and become part of our worldwide community of whiskey lovers. You can download Whiskey Cast at the iTunes Music Store or at whiskeycast.com. Welcome back to Whiskey Cast Virtual Tastings. Our tasting panel has spoken, and it's an interesting battle here. Coming in fourth, for lack of a better term, was the Crown Royal XR with a respectable score of 3.5. Green Spot was at an even 4. All three tasters scored that one a 4 across the board. The Amaret Porto Novo scored a 4.3 average score. And our winner for this month's tasting, if you can call it that, since all four of these received very good scores, was the Ardbeg Day with an average score of 4.6. Now, Tom and Josh, you guys both scored that one perfect fives, and we've not had many perfect fives on WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings. Chris scored that one a 4. What did you guys think of that one overall? And obviously, since it received the highest score, it's the one you guys consider to be the best, but what caused that one to stand out among the others?
For me, it was the fact that it's been the most successful combination of a strong peat and a nice finish on it, where it's not you're drinking the peat or you're drinking the finish, it's you're drinking a real integrated whiskey. It's about the same in the bourbon world. You've had certain people try to put finishes on bourbon very unsuccessfully until, in my opinion, recently Angel's Envy has finally done it and done it successfully. This Scotch has had a long history of finishes, but this is really the first time to me we've taken an Islay and really put the finish so successfully on it.
It is hard to take a bourbon and add something to it without detracting from it, making the whiskey fall apart. And the ones I've tried, you're right, Angel's Envy is about the only one that's been successful in terms of a finish. Were there any surprises in this? Anything that stood out that you hadn't expected to find out?
I mean, I was pleasantly surprised by the Porto Novo. I've had the Amaret Fusion. That's the only Amaret I've had. But I would, I'll definitely add the Porto Novo to my collection. And
I wasn't really expecting the spicy entry on the Porto Novo. It's very, very unique in terms of you get that spicy cinnamon hotness right up on front. And again, I described it as it being a bit hot up front. Wasn't really expecting that.
Actually, for me, the surprise was the lowest ranking one, the Canadian Royal, because it, like I said, it's one that I could really get into enjoy drinking. It, to me, I rated all the others superior to it, but it's a very good whiskey.
And that just goes to show when, you know, what you want to drink when. I mean, it's 90 degrees outside. Right. We're going to probably drink the Green Spot right now.
Right.
But if it's, you know, December 15th and it's 10 degrees out, we're going to drink.
And on the on the Ardbeg, I think with the score of the 5, I think Tom was spot on. To me it's difficult to get that perfect marriage of sherry and peat, and the word that I would describe the Ardbeg Day is balance. I think it has exceptional balance. You get the peat, the iodine, the salt up front, but then the sherry influence definitely kicks in, and with a couple drops of water, it's exceptional, and it really holds together well, and it really opens up with the sherry influence with the fruit notes, and it's got a exceptional finish on it. So I think it's outstanding.
Yeah, to me, the best balance to the peat and the sherry I've had before is the Lafroig 30, and this one brings out the Ardbeg peat, and it's a lot younger whiskey, so you get the stronger peat to it that mutes with the 30, and it's everything I just love in a Scotch.
How much time did that spend in a sherry, do you know?
They've not said. It does not carry an age statement. So.
Okay. It's great.
Did we learn anything?
I don't think there's a perfect scotch. I think your rating of a 5.0, and you know, I read Jim Murray's Bible, and I don't think he's ever given a 100 rating. I'm in a Scotch Drinkers book club, and there's always a debate, do we use half points or quarter points? And we don't use quarter points. We use half points, like here, 0 to 5, and they've never given a 5.0. They say, tradition holds it, if they have a 5, the male will do something that they would do in the bedroom, and then they would die. And no one's died yet.
Yeah.
And they have a special bottle that when someone does die in that group, that they're all going to drink in their honor. So we've all been afraid to rate it a 5.
In all fairness, we were going on half point scales, and I felt it was above a 4.5.
Well, I would have probably rated.
Hence the quarter
if we did
point
half
system.
Points, we could. I would have been comfortable going 4.8, 4.9, but still.
Right. I agree.
We do half points because of my limited math ability. I average these things. That's why we do half points.
I say that for Chris's benefit because I have no interest in dying right now.
You are the oldest here.
I'm the oldest, and I'm also got more whiskey than I can drink in my lifetime.
We'll help you.
We'll
help you.
That's what good friends are for.
Yeah, I'm afraid they might want to have my final wake because my wife's been told to bring out the whiskey for the wake.
Well, thank you guys very much for doing this. Thanks to Tom Helt, Josh Scott, and our host for this month's episode, Chris Winters. Guys, I hope, and I say this every month, but I really do mean it, I hope you had as much fun doing this as I did.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Definitely. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Thank you very much for having us. Appreciate it.
Our panelists this month, Christopher Winters, Joshua Scott, and Tom Helt. If you'd like to be part of an upcoming tasting panel, just email me. The address is comments@whiskeycast.com, and we'll get back to you with more details. Of course, you can always catch up on the latest whiskey news and interviews each week on WhiskeyCast and become part of our global community of whiskey lovers through the WhiskeyCast Facebook page and our website at whiskeycast.com. Support for WhiskeyCast comes from Kilhoman, Islay's Farm Distillery, on the web at kilhomandistillery.com. WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2012. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.